You're listening to a sermon of Meadowbrook Church in Ocala, Florida. For more media resources, visit us online at www.nbcocala.com.
I believe toward the end of last year that the Lord had put in my heart that we were to focus in and emphasize that this year, 2010, would be a year of growth. And I always want to qualify that. Primarily personal growth, spiritual growth in us individually, and then corporately together. I believe numerical growth is a secondary thing, but it comes as we grow. I believe all other growth is secondary to that personal and spiritual growth. And so that is where our focus has been. And so all the series that we've kind of gone through this year continue on that. Last week we finished up, anybody remember? Encouragement. And I trust that you're working that as a part of your life. But today I want to move on, talk about traps and tricks. Because in our process of growth, in our path of growth, the enemy would like to stop that. He would like to interfere with that greatly. And so let's go ahead and look in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. If you're with me this morning, say amen. Amen. All right, that's most of you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Let's also read it in the Amplified Bible. It says, "Be well balanced." I think that's huge. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant or watchful, and cautious when? At all times. Cautious at all times for or because that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. And so we see that we do have an enemy, and I think that you already knew that. And Scripture's telling us that we need to be wide awake to some things because of this adversary, this enemy. He's looking, he's seeking for whom he may devour. That word devour there in the Greek actually means this: to gulp down and ultimately to destroy. And so he's not looking to just kind of upset your afternoon or just to hinder you or slow you down. He is out to destroy you. Amen. Don't worry, this is a good news message. But I got to shoot real straight with you. I got to tell you this stuff. With our academy, we're looking into having driver's ed this year. Because I think that's an important thing, that you know what's out there. And I remember in 10th grade, I took driver's ed and they made us watch films that I never want to be in that film. Amen. You know, and they showed what can happen and what's out there. And I think there is some value in that. That's not my whole point. But my point is, what I'm doing right now is I'm showing you the films. I'm telling you what is out there so that you can be aware of that and wide awake to that. Because I believe that actually helped to motivate me and to ingrain some things in me. And so in the same way, I want you to know that you have an enemy and his goal for your life is just to destroy you. That's right. Amen. And I want to emphasize this, not just to mess up your afternoon, make you sad a little bit, not to set you back for a couple of days or whatever. He wants to gulp you down and destroy you. Now, I always like in this verse, it says he's seeking whom he may devour. And to that, I always like to say, you may not devour me. Amen. Now, let's look a little bit further here. In John 10:10, it says that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, we put our confidence in God. We put our confidence in God, and God is greater than the devil.
Amen.
Now, let me go ahead and clear that up, that God is greater than the devil. Because sometimes in Christian dramas and videos and songs, it's almost like it's a stalemate. It's a dead heat. We're going to have to go into extra rounds or extra innings because it is so close here. Oh, the devil, he's up by two. Oh, Jesus is making a comeback. And it's, you know, it's like this arm wrestling match. And who's going to win? I'll tell you what, Jesus will tear the devil's stinking arm off, okay? Amen. This is not even close. God is greater.
Amen.
I said God is greater.
Amen.
But yet there's things that are out there in our path that we have to be aware of. So our confidence is in God, who is greater, but we can never afford to be careless. We can never afford to be careless. And that's largely what this message in this series will be about. Now, God is greater. Just go ahead and say that again. God is greater.
God is greater.
And you need to understand that. God is greater, and as we go about our business, we need to understand that the enemy cannot just overwhelm you. He cannot just overwhelm you. Think about this. If he could just overwhelm you, he would have already done that. If he could just come in and take you out, he would have already done that. But we also have scripture that we'll look at as we go along here. He cannot just come and overwhelm you. So because of that, he has to lie to you. He has to set you up. And that brings us kind of to the whole series here. This is what he has to do, because he cannot just come in and wring your neck and take you out. Then he has to lay traps, and he has to play tricks. Everybody say traps and tricks. And that's what we're up against. Who's greater? But who's the liar, the thief, the one who has to trap and trick and steal, kill, and destroy? That's the devil, okay? So can we win?
Yes.
You think we can?
Amen.
All right. Could we also lose, though? Yeah. Yeah, if you're not careful. Come on, if you're not careful, you could. I want to win. And I have an assignment. I fully believe I'm on assignment to get this across to you, to help us to know how we can avoid and overcome these traps and these tricks. Let's look at the enemy just for a moment. He's not creative. He's not the creator. He's not creative. So his schemes, his plans, his deceits, his devices, you know what? For the most part, they're reruns. We've seen them before. How many of you have had the devil try the same old junk in your life over and over again? Almost to the point, hear me, that it is virtually predictable. It's virtually predictable. You know this, and if you'll study this a while, and I've made this a study for a while, just kind of silently on the inside, that if you know enough about a person, if you know what their goals are, if you know who they hang out with, know their history, their family history, you know kind of how they've handled things in the past, you can virtually predict then what traps and tricks will be in their path. Not to say that they would fall to them, but you'll know what the enemy would try to use to trip that person up. You know it about your own life. I know it about my own life. And so our whole life we played a game of show and tell. We have shown and told the enemy what pulls on us and what doesn't pull on us. There's some things that would pull on you that just don't pull on me. There's some things that pull on me that maybe wouldn't pull on you at all. And then there are a lot of common things that we do. But you know. And how many of you have had the reruns in your life? Okay? And so, same old, same old. And here's the sad part of it, though. The sad part is the enemy is highly successful and using the same old tricks and the same old traps over and over again. Amen. And you watch people. You watch a fool repeat his folly. You watch over and over. There's different things that bring people back to the same thing. Because he knows what bait to use. He knows what lure to use. Honestly, there are very few surprises because he is not creative. Okay, y'all here?
Yes.
All right. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we, say that's me, we are not ignorant of his devices. So let's just pull something out of this. He cannot take advantage of us unless we are ignorant of his devices. I'll say it again. He cannot take advantage of us unless we are ignorant of his devices. If we are ignorant of his devices, he can use them on us. Because it'll be a surprise to us. We don't know. We're not looking for it. We haven't been warned. We're not aware of that. In high school, I worked at a gas station. And this was back in the days of full serve. How many remember those? I mean, we wore little uniforms. We had a rag and name and, you know, all kind of stuff. And ding, ding. And we're out there, you know, rebuilding your car, you know. And on weekends, I worked with this guy who should have lived in another century and been a pirate. He had like part of his nose gone, part of an ear gone. He was a shocking, salty person. Okay, it was ministry preparation because now nothing shocks me. Okay, And his name was Buster. And we had been told, this was in Leesburg, and the Leesburg police had come and said that this guy was going around mostly on weekends and going to stores and gas stations and was doing this little con with, hey, could you make change for this 20? And, you know, and he'd get you going, and then before you know it, you're all confused and he walks away with more of your money. So our boss had told us that, and, you know, I just thought, okay, and just kind of had it in the back of my mind. Several weeks later, slow Saturday afternoon, which was torture. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you it was torture because I'm working at a gas station. All my friends would come in with their dad's boats and gas them up, you know, and go, you know, have fun, you know, and I go mop out the bathrooms. And so it was awesome. But I'm over it. But this guy came in, ding, ding, the bell rings. I said, I'll get it, Buster, I'll get it. And he goes, you better, because I ain't, you know, so fine. So I go out there, and I'm doing the whole deal. And the guy didn't want a whole lot of gas. He just wanted some. And then I open up the cash drawer, because I had a cool little thing on it, you know, the retractable key. It's part of the equipment, okay? And I had it out, and he said, hey, while you're in there, could you make some change for this 20, and I said, well, how would you like it? Well, if I could have a 10 and 3 5s and 5 1s, and add that one up real quick. Okay. And so this all started, and I was going to hang on, and then all of a sudden that came back to my mind that we had been warned. And I slammed the drawer closed, and I went, Buster! Guy hopped in his car, squealed out of there. I go, oh, no, I think I've given away all the money, you know. Called the boss, called the police. They all came down. The boss did the books real quick. We came out about 15 bucks ahead. So he's not the one to worry about. I am, okay? So if you need change, see me after service, okay? The point is this. Because I'd been warned, I had a bit of an awareness. I was not ignorant of a device that may come around, and it helped to save something. And in a much bigger sense, if we're ignorant of his devices, he's going to take advantage of you. But we're not ignorant. This is part of the purpose of this series. We're going to go into some of the devices and tricks and traps that the enemy would try to use on us. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Everybody say the whole armor of God. Armor. And coming up, I'm going to do a series on the whole armor of God. But put on the whole armor of God that you, say that's me, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Are there wiles of the devil? Is he tricky? Is he crafty? Absolutely. Are you able to stand against them? Yeah. Only if you have the whole armor of God. If you don't have the whole armor of God, you will not be able to stand up against the tricks, the wiles of the devil. If you have the armor of God, you will be able to stand against the tricks of the devil, the wiles of the devil. The Message Bible says that with the armor of God, you're able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. Thirdly, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. It says, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Notice this again. There's the snare of the devil. So there is a trap. There's a trick that is out there. And it says here that if you come to your senses, how many of you have ever lost your senses before? I'm going to give you one more time to be honest. How many of you have ever lost your senses before? Okay, let me just throw this out. No hands raised on this one. Some of you alter your senses sometimes. I'm very serious about this. You know, emergency rooms and jails are exceptionally busy after people get paid, because then they go get drunk and they drink and they buy drugs and then go places and everything else. And it's because they alter their senses. Okay? But when you lose your senses, when you stop thinking right, when you stop handling and perceiving and judging things properly, you lose your senses here. This suggests to us then that you're going to be snared by the snare of the devil. And it says, and not only would you be snared, the reason you would be snared is you are taken captive to do his will. There's a place that you can get so snared and so caught up in the traps and tricks of the enemy that you're no longer even doing your will. You're doing his will. Amen. But it says if you'll, as it reads here, it says that they would come to their senses, then you're able to escape the snare, indicating that you were in it. But now that you come to your senses, you're able to get out of it. I have a better situation, better scenario. And that is that you keep your senses about you. And if you keep your senses about you, then you're going to be able to avoid the snares of the devil. Amen. Now, real quickly, I've given you three scriptures. There are plenty on this to let you know that the devil has traps and tricks, snares, devices, schemes, all kinds of things, deceits, wiles. He has all of those things. But scripture consistently lets you know. If you keep your senses about you, if you put on the armor of God, if you live with some awareness, you, friends, can overcome. Amen. You can overcome. Overcome what? The traps and the tricks. And what are they for? They're to ultimately destroy you, to hurt you, everything connected to you. He wants to take you down. He wants to take you out. He wants to mess you up. Well, not me. Yes, you. Yes, me. All of us. He would love to take you out. Now, I'm giving you the good news with it, too. Okay? You can overcome. How many of you would rather overcome? You know, I didn't have time to do it, but I was going to get like a bear trap and all kinds of stuff up here. See if anybody wanted to come get in one of these things. And I just may do it. I'm going to get all kinds of traps up here. Now, the enemy has, as I've said, traps and tricks. And here's our goal. And we're introducing this today. First thing we've got to do is be aware so that we can avoid. So the enemy lays traps, plays tricks. But we've got to be aware of these so that we can avoid these. And we can win. Amen. If you're with me so far, do something, say something. Okay. All right. Good deal. All right. Hey, and you know what? That's for you. That's for you. How many of you have ever been in something important before and all of a sudden you're like, just drifting? And so if I badger you, if I bother you, if I'm having you repeat things and come back to this and look at this and write it down and lay on the floor and kick and whatever I would do, yes, so that you get this thing. I've told you before, and don't get tired of me, I'm the delivery boy. And you have to come out and sign for this package. So I'm knocking on your door. I'm knocking on your windows. I'm coming down your chimney. Okay? Because you've got to get this package. All right? Now, you're not going to like this part. Let me back up for a moment. Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." The next verse says, because they rejected knowledge. And what it is we end up in a place where we're not aware. If you're not aware, you're not even thinking about avoiding something. If you were to avoid something, that's, quote, luck. But we are going to be aware so that we can avoid the traps and tricks of the enemy. Here's the part you're not going to like. To get caught in a trap or become the victim of a trick involves, on your part, some degree of cooperation, some degree of participation. We're living in a culture and a society right now that takes responsibility for nothing. It's not my fault, somebody else's fault, and I'll sue them. You know, and we don't keep score and we don't do this because there ain't no good guys, there ain't no bad guys, and it's not my fault ever. And, you know, constantly pointing blame, and that is sick and it's wrong and it's contrary to truth. And if you're going to grow and make progress in life, you've got to have some traction. Part of that traction is I will take responsibility for myself. I will take responsibility for my decisions and for my mistakes and my faults and my goals and my provision. All you have to take some responsibility. Am I with anybody mature around here? Okay. And that's an important thing to do. Stop casting blame. Stop pointing fingers. Stop, you know, get some broader shoulders and realize, yeah, I did that. I did that. Right. You know what? That part of that's my fault. And in doing so, that humility will bring a great amount of grace and liberty in your life. God can help you with that. But he can't help you if you don't need help because it wasn't your fault. Now, to some degree, I'm not blaming you entirely. I'm not blaming me entirely. To some degree, any time that you're caught in a trap or a trick, to some degree, there's some level of cooperation or participation on our parts. And you can learn this in the classroom, or you can learn it out there by crisis. I would encourage you to learn it here. It's best to learn it here. If you learn it out there, if you learn it by crisis, then learn it and learn it well. All of us have some scars from things we've learned. How many of you have some scars from things you learned? And along the way, let that scar remind you. And use that scar to instruct somebody else. Shortly after we started the church, we had just a little worship team. And we had a little keyboard that had all kinds of drum sounds. And a guy who played guitar. And every now and then we had a drummer. And I'm not sure if Pastor John was here yet or not. And anyway, we had this guitar player who was missing most of his thumb. And then we had a bass player too that played, and he was missing a finger or two. And I mean, you had to be badly damaged to be in the band. You know, it was kind of a requirement because we wanted guys that had faith, you know. So, but there was this little guy running around at the time. His whole family came to the church and he sucked his thumb all the time. And he was getting a little big for sucking his thumb. And one day, this guitar player is missing most of his thumb. He said, "Come over here." He said, "I used to suck my thumb." Yeah. That kind of thing will cure you, you know? And I don't know if that's how he lost it or not, you know, but if you have scars, so to speak, was, you know what? I was in that trap. You now, having overcome that, you carry with you some moral authority to tell somebody, "I was there, but I'm out." Amen. I went through that and I did that. Here's what I learned. Don't do it again. Amen. And here's how I learned to get out of that thing. But you realize, though, that you can learn this in the classroom or by crisis, that when you get caught in a trap, you're a victim to a trick. To some degree, there was some cooperation and participation. For example, you have to take the bait. You have to play the game. You have to go to the place. You have to be with the people, whatever, to get involved in those kind of things. You know, the fish have to take the lure. They have to take the bait. You have to show up for a lot of things. So this brings us to the big issue here, which is proximity. Everybody say proximity.
Proximity.
Proximity is nearness. Nearness. The opposite of nearness is distance. And if we can understand that there are traps, and what we're going to do during this series is we're going to find out what these are. Scripture tells us what they are. But in the meantime and forever, we need to understand proximity, which means we need to keep our what?
Distance.
Keep our distance from some things. Even if we just suspect that there might be over there, we need to keep our distance from some things. About 2-3 weeks ago, it happens all the time, but this one made the news again. A guy's out at Grand Canyon. He got a little too close to the edge, taking pictures, whatever, and he fell about 90 feet. He lived, but he broke both his ankles and broke some other stuff, which you're bound to do when you fall 90 feet. Here's the sad thing. There's signs there saying, "Stay back from, keep your distance." It just makes sense to me, too. It just makes sense to me. You know, probably every service, I almost go over the edge here. My stomach and lungs will freeze real quick, and I go, every head bowed, every eye closed. And it's like, there's a guy who comes first service. He's gone to the church for a long, long time. He keeps telling me, "Pastor, I want to put a warning track right along the edge." Like baseball players, you know, going, you know, they know I'm near the fence. But I'm saying, dude, Grand Canyon, figure this out. Keep your distance. And there are traps and tricks all over our life that we've got to be aware to keep our distance. I remember being in about 5th or 6th grade, and we're at the Lake County Fair. in Leesburg, and I'm walking down through the Midway, and I've told you this before, I'm walking through the Midway, I feel rich, I got like $4.70, you know, which is a lot back then. And I'm walking down, you know, through there, and there's all these guys, you know, come up to this booth, and you win this, and I remember this one guy, and he kind of leaned out over his booth, "Hey, kid, come here, you look like a winner." I'm going like, "Me? You, kid. Come here." I could feel my money going away, you know? What I learned to do, keep my distance. The best thing I ever won at the county fair was a little deformed, morphed bear, I think. That's what it was. Now, keep our distance. And this also, I got to just bring this up. That involves some of your companions. There was a little zone in high school, among some other zones in high school, where I was getting in a lot of trouble. And my parents and his parents suddenly realized that we were not good together. And so they made us keep our distance. And we both did so much better. Distance will help to save your life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Therefore we also," say that's us, "since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the," watch this, "and the sin which so easily ensnares or besets us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The Amplified Bible for that ensnares brings this out. It clings to and entangles us. It clings to and entangles us. Something's only going to cling to you if you get close to it. You can only get entangled in something if you get close to it. Let me put it to you a number of ways here. You don't get sand spurs if you stay on the sidewalk. You don't get stuck in the mud if you stay on the pavement. Y'all hear me? Now please hear this next one in the tone that I'm doing it here. I never get into fights in bars. Are y'all getting this? "Well, how do you do that?" "I fight every time, Pastor." It's because I don't go in there. Hold on. I also never get my hand bit off by a lion in a cage at the zoo. Why? Because I don't put my hand in there. It's been within the last year, some guy went over a little wall, past some signs, climbed a little fence because he wanted to get close to some monkeys or something. And they beat him up. I say he should have had another half hour in with the monkeys. And see, sometimes, I mean, we show up and we're like, "I don't know what happened. The devil." If you hadn't gone there,
that's right.
If you weren't with them, if you didn't take the bait, if you didn't play the game, if you weren't with those folks, that's not going to happen.
That's right.
When Mylon Lefevre was here just a month and a half or so ago, remember he talked about the fact he was a drug addict beyond drug addicts. He was a heroin addict. He was a speed freak. He was all those things. He said when he gave his heart to Jesus, he said he stopped hanging out with his friends, and when his friends went away, the drugs went away. And I'm telling you, proximity. Who are you close to? What are you close to? Where are you going? What are you watching? What are you reading? Who are you hanging out with? If you play the game, if you take the bait, you're going to end up in traps and tricks. And whether you even know what all the traps and tricks are, if you just know, I know there's some out there. If I told you there's a real surprise for you somewhere right along this path, would you not be kind of alert and cautious? A few years ago, we were at Disney with some friends in the ministry, and we'd come back to our rooms one night, having gone out to eat, and we're walking down this path, and it's dark, and walking down this path, but it's lit up a little bit, and all of a sudden I see this huge mouse, probably a rat. And they're like, "Ah!" You know, Alicia's jumping on my back, you know, and so I got her off. And I said, "I'll take care of this." And so I ran over to this rat and I said, "Hey, Mickey Mouse, Well, guess what? There are like three or four more right there. Because when I was a little kid, I watched a show called The Shrews, and I'm still not right, you know, from it. And I just, well, guess what? Over the next day or night or so, we had to walk that same path. And every time we walked that path, guess what? We were all wide awake. We were all paying attention. We didn't know if they were there, where they were, or what else was there. But as we're going along, you got to pay attention. Not to be paranoid, but to be awake. Our confidence is in God, and God is greater, but you can never afford to be careless. The Bible tells you you're going to have to be well-balanced and wide awake and watchful the whole time, because the enemy, he would love to take you down and take you out.
Amen.
Let me share something else with you real quick. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4 and verse 14 and 15. Do not enter, now keep all this in mind, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, and do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Proverbs 5:8 says, remove your way far from her. Everybody say her. Her is figurative here for possibly a her. Or a him, or a refrigerator, or a bottle, or a pill, or a place, or some people. It's whatever, it's whoever would pull on you to go in the wrong direction. And it says you are to avoid her. Let's go back here. It says remove your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. Proverbs 16:17 says, the way of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Let me share this with you right here. And I've given this principle. Oh, by the way, next week, church celebrates 21 years. And I'm excited about that. And I've been teaching this principle for about 21 years. And it's this. The long way is better than the wrong way. Say it with me. The long way is better than the wrong way. One more time. The long way is better than the wrong way. A number of years ago, we built half this building. Whether you know it or not, some of you, they're kind of new. This used to be the church, a little bit further over. That used to be the church. And then we added on 110% so that we'd seat about 2,200 people in here at a time. But we add on. So when we first built this part, a lady that's come to our church, she'd had some issues, some real tough issues, family history and stuff, with alcohol. And she pulled up to, on her way, she'd have to stop at the traffic light right by ABC Liquor Store. And she said, I'm all dressed up, I've got my Bible, I've written out my tithe check ahead of time. I'm going to church, I love God. But she had these issues in her life, traps and tricks that she'd gotten caught in before, still dealing with it. The devil knew what traps and tricks. And she said, there I am, waiting to turn to go to church. I'm on my way to church. And she said, it just started pulling on me in every way. I started getting distracted. I'd come to church. I couldn't even pay attention because I'm thinking, you know, as soon as I get out of here, I'm going there. I'm going somewhere. I got to do this. And just, this was a real stronghold for her. And she said the morning that she was suffering with this the worst, I didn't write it on a board, but I said it out loud. I said, the long way is better than the wrong way. And you know what she's done every time she's come to church since now for a long, long, long time? She found her a different way to church, okay? And sometimes you just got to find a different way. You're going to have to find a different path. You're going to have to keep proximity so that you stay away from the things, the traps, the tricks that would pull on you, that would entice you, that would get your interest. There's a reason why they call them lures when you're fishing, because it would lure you. It would bait you. It would pull you there and go, well, what is that? And it would pull you. And you've got to, first of all, be aware. And not only be aware, but keep proximity. Keep some distance. Because I'd rather go the long way. And I know all of America and all the world, we're going green. But I tell you what, in this sense, I'd rather waste some gas than go the wrong way. And you know what I'm talking about. This, I'm not just talking about driving. Y'all with me? All right. Let me read this to you in Proverbs 7. Verse 21 and 23, and I'm almost done. It says, with her, there she is again, enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. Watch this. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost him his life. This is why we've got to be aware. You got to be aware of some things, and that will help you to keep your distance, because you realize, you know what? I'm not willing to pay that price. I'm not willing to get caught in that trap. This is not to say that it wouldn't pull on you. This is not to say that that lure doesn't in some way pull on you, so to speak. But this is what you have to do. You're going to have to be aware of that, and you're going to have to keep your distance. And the long way is better than the wrong way. We must be informed and we must be trained so that we can avoid traps and tricks. The enemy is very determined and he's very busy. And remember this, not just trying to ruin your day. He's trying to take you down and take you out, destroy you, give you a bad name, ruin your family, ruin your health, ruin your finances, make you where you can't even sleep anymore. So damage you and take you out. And I'm trying to tell you the truth today. I wish I could just tell you Jesus loves you and he made bumblebees and butterflies and y'all go have a picnic. But I'm going to tell you what, you've got to know that there are traps and tricks out there. And the enemy is determined and he is busy. But folks, bless God, we're going to be aware. We're going to be informed. We're going to keep our distance. We're going to stay alert and we're going to overcome.
Amen.
Amen. Now, one last scripture in Psalm 124, verse 7 and 8. It says, our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It goes on to say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, they would have swallowed us alive. The waters would have overwhelmed us and would have gone over our souls. I want you to know something. Listen to me as I finish. The Lord will not only help you to avoid the traps and tricks. Truth be told, some of you are in those traps and tricks. The Lord will also help you to escape.
Amen.
And your help is in the name of the Lord. It means the manifest might of God. God will help you. You got to pay attention. He's greater. You got to pay attention. You got to be alert and aware. If you were aware that, you know, if I was to go down this path and I knew that potentially there was something there and maybe something there or something along the way, you're going to be very alert. You're going to be well balanced. You're going to keep your wits about you and you're going to trust God to warn you. You're going to trust God to protect you. You're going to trust God to help you in doing this. There's traps and tricks, but we can win.
Amen.
I said we can win.
Yes.
And God is greater, but let's stay wide awake and let's trust Him to help us. Amen. Did you get anything at all out of this today?